I had bounced around a range of topics on this one and had about seven. I've had somewhere between three and five going for a little while. And it would have been last Sunday that I worked my way through and narrowed it to two topics. I had rough outlines on two of them. And this one, for whatever reason, even as I was praying about it, came to the forefront for me. Now, I'm going to qualify something here. I am not a medical doctor. Let's just make that clear. In fact, there are people in the room that know who we are and how we work better than I. But I do know that there's a lot in terms of scripture on what this topic entails, and so that's what I'm going to deal with today. I'll start with a question. What is good health? An article that was actually written by Stacy Sampson on Medical News Today. Forgive me. Stacy Sampson actually was the MD that reviewed it. They don't oftentimes put authors on Medical News Today, but they will note the reviewers who take care of these articles, who look over the facts of these articles. This article entitled What is Good Health actually terms health as the following. Generally, it refers to one's well-being. Although long recognized, the article continues, as the leader in good health, in just over the past few years, the American lifespan has fallen. I don't know if you've noticed this. It's fallen 2+ years, roughly 2.5 years. And no surprise, the medical community has really been paying attention to what in the world is going on. I note that because whereas the U.S. used to top the world in terms of life expectancy, we are now at 12 and teetering between 12 and 13 in terms of lifespan now. Countries like Switzerland, Japan, Sweden, Australia, and the Netherlands have now outpaced us. In fact, in many cases, those who happen to be in these other countries are outliving us now by 5 or more years. While in 2019, the average American could plan to live 79 years, it's now closer to right at 77 years. And because of this trend, no surprise, the U.S. medical community has really started to pay attention and to sound an alarm over what's going on. You know, sadly, in a search for answers, they have proposed a number of different ways that we can address this. I was even in doing some scanning of different articles that are addressing the topic. I was maybe not surprised that nowhere in there did they reference God. Nowhere in there did they speak of the laws that are noted in Scripture, which we heard in that first message. Nowhere in there did they talk about the way in which we relate to God and how that brings us balance. Never showed up anywhere there. And yet what I found, interestingly enough, is, and you know this, astoundingly, there is so much. In fact, I was shocked when I started this direction. There is so much in Scripture about good living, good health, and high quality of life. I was just blown away. So what I'm going to kind of ask us to do today is put on some glasses, and we'll look at the scriptures along these topics. And just as we begin here, let's go to Proverbs 3. Now you can drop a marker in Proverbs 3. The number of different terms that refer to health and being healthy, being balanced, being whole was shocking to me. Proverbs 3 verses 1 through 2 is where I'm going to start. And I'm going to ask that we, even as we work through this, that we get a sense for what's here, just as one location about how God wants to bless us with good health. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. And sometimes we can stop there. But as you see, even in verse 2, it continues, for the length of days and long life. So what it tells us is even in keeping God's law, it lengthens our days. It gives us an opportunity to live longer than we would otherwise. And peace, they will add to you, just won't live a longer life. You will live a better life when we follow God. If we drop down to verses 7 and 8, I'll just continue there. And there's a lot right there in between that certainly should give us some thoughts along these lines, but I'm going to go to verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We heard that in the first message. And it will be, you ready for this? Health to your bones. And strength, health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So if we were to tell you, if someone were to tell you that your bones would be healthier and your skin would be better if you kept God's laws, I think some of us might be dismissive of that. Or we wouldn't make a connection there. But in Scripture, there's no mistaking this. So even as we see here just briefly in the Proverbs, in Proverbs 3 here, this connection between living, understanding and living God's Word and the quality and the length of life, so too all over God's Word do we get different information, different instructions, different reminders of the power of living in accordance with God. So what I thought we would do today is we would talk about this importance of health. And no surprise, even as we go this direction, it's helpful that we do a certain amount of things to make sense of the topic, even as we understand our physical health and its impact on our spiritual health, because there's a connection there. Let's do the following in this message. Let's first of all define what health is. That only makes sense. We'll deal with it in detail. We know generally it deals with well-being, but there are very specific definitions that can give us further insight. Let's then examine what health is by category. Now, there are more categories than I could ever cover. In fact, depending on the different explanations, I found in the ranges of somewhere between 3 and 10 categories on health that we could cover. Don't have time for that. In fact, I thought to myself, how many sermons is this going to take? And I distilled it down, stayed with just 3, so we'll tackle those. And then thirdly, let's clarify then what we can do, given this information, in order to move forward with our lives in better health. And that's the last thing we'll tack on today. So I'll give you a range of different sources. Medical News Today, I already mentioned. I'll cite from the World Health Organization, the Center for Disease Control, the National Institute of Health, multiple Bible sources, as you'll see. And there's a good booklet that United puts out simply entitled Making Life Work. And if you've not read in a while, sound reading. Very helpful reading there. I've entitled this message, as you can see here, Here's to Good Health. And that's what we're going to wind up tackling today. Whether I make this a series, in fact, even as I finish this message, I found myself afterward going, maybe we need to play with this direction a couple of different ways. I'm not sure if I'll actually make this a series on life well lived, keys from God's Word or not, but we'll play with that a little bit later on. But that said, let's start with, if you will, James, that first topic that we're going to tackle, and that is, what does the term health mean? Let's start with the World Health Organization, because they are noted as the perennial definer of health. 1948, the World Health Organization offers the following: a state of physical, mental, and social well-being. Physical, mental, and social well-being. Not just, they add, not just the mere absence of disease or infirmity. So again, they break it down there. The World Health Organization then followed up and they offered at length explanation of what health is. They followed up a couple of decades later by adding some additional details here, and they added to that definition the following. They added that health includes personal and social resources that allow us to live well. If you go to a number of standard dictionaries, which is what I did, because what I was curious of is oftentimes as academics we'll have a definition we play with. What do standard dictionaries offer? Merriam-Webster's dictionary offers a similar definition here, but distills it down to 3 different categories. It offers the following in terms of what health is: the condition of being sound in body, mind, and spirit. Body, mind, and spirit. Now, I don't know about you. The first thing that resonated with me from that is, again, the reminder that God, in calling us and requiring of us what we do to honor Him, if you remember here, we're to honor Him in body, mind, and spirit. That's essentially what it is. And I thought Merriam-Webster Dictionary gets this right. In short, secular definitions actually emphasize one's ability to perform daily duties. Medical News Today then continues, good health offers us the means to live a life of meaning and purpose. When we feel good, we're much more likely to have a clear sense of who we are and where we're headed. A range of Bible verses then make the same point, and that's what I'm going to actually spend time wading through. I had to reduce a lot here, because one of the things that I was surprised by is the term health alone shows up 50 times in Scripture. Didn't know that. Found myself all over God's Word looking at that. And similarly, or kind of correspondingly, the King James Version Dictionary actually reminds us, or offered, that I didn't think much about this, that the term health is actually a derivative of the term healing. When we speak of healing in Scripture, you ready for this? Healing shows up 150 times in Scripture. Health is a variation on that term. So even while you're in the book of Proverbs, let's insert a couple of scriptures here. Proverbs 4. You should be in Proverbs 3 with me. We're not going to go far. We'll just maybe look across the page. Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. God's commands, again, those teachings. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. They're these good things that happen to us when we follow God. I'm going to backtrack here. And again, I would contend that it's valuable for you to leave a marker in Proverbs, because we'll hit Proverbs a bunch of times. Let's go backwards to Exodus, the book of Exodus. And we oftentimes think, when you're back in Exodus, we think of the nation of Israel, even as God called them out. And he promised to care for them. There's a number of different places in the book of Exodus, for one, and others in the first five books of the Bible, where God takes the time to stress the importance of health or healing and his care for us. I'm in Exodus 15, verse 26. Here again, God has been working with Moses, and if you're in verse 26, note what's offered here as Moses is inspired to write, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, Exodus 15, 26, if I got there a little fast, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases of which I have brought on the Egyptians. In other words, you won't deal with these things. For I am the Lord who heals you. He is the God of healing and of health, of good health. And so what we find here, and we find elsewhere, even as they go into the promised land, he says multiple times, even while nations are dealing with issues, diseases, a range of other problems, I'll keep you from that. And I'll keep you from that if you abide in my law, if you follow me. And so what we find here, and I just note Deuteronomy 7, verse 15, is even as we see the importance of health, health spoken of, and healing spoken of, the terms that are used here, in, if I get specific about Exodus 15, verse 26, and that term healing, healing here means, healing refers to the state of living where all parts of us are organized, sound, and perform freely their natural functions. Organize, sound, and perform freely their natural functions. And so what we find from Scripture just broadly is that God certainly wants us to be healthy and happy. Generally, as we deal with the term health, then, health and healing, we get a reminder here that God gives us instructions, gives us commands so that we benefit while here. Now, at times, and I won't necessarily go the direction of maybe where you are, I oftentimes associate to a certain degree God with long-term goals. To me, even as I spent some time praying this morning, I'm praying thy kingdom come. Makes complete sense. And I find myself at times having to stop and think, even as I'm praying in prayer, thinking that even as we talk about give us this day our daily bread, that God, the God we serve, the God of the Bible, is not only a God of long-term aspiration goals for us, in terms of not only being in his kingdom, but being spiritual, and in so many different ways, us being like him, but at the same time, he's the God of the immediate. He's the God of the today. And sometimes I will put myself so in such, focus forward mode that I'll stop and I'll miss what God is offering today. And so I don't want us to necessarily miss that here, because Scripture reminds us over and over that God is with us each day to help us to be as healthy and as happy as we might be. Okay, so let's transition off this first topic. We've first of all done, what does the term health mean? And we have some sense here that it means being whole, being sound, and being well. So let's go to a second question. Second question here is along the lines of, let's break down, if we're looking at health, let's break down health into a range of topics that we can manageably deal with, at least during this message. Now, this happens to be one of those graphics that showed up for me. As you can see here, mental health, emotional health, social health, environmental, spiritual, and physical. We're not going to necessarily deal with all of these. I think it's easier, again, for us just to stay with three. But it is a reminder, and you can go, whether it be these six categories or nine or ten categories or more categories, there's a range of different ways to look at health. I'm only going to ask that we look at three. And that would be, in this case, physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. And so let's tackle that first one. If we deal first of all with physical health, and James, if you will, I think that next one comes up. It's going to pop in here. If we're talking specifically about physical health, by background and definition, generally physical health deals with physical wellness, being well. And if you deal with physical wellness, a range of sources, even as I've already mentioned, usually are in agreement on this one. It's how well our organ systems, how our individual organs and our organ systems work together. In general, that's what it refers to. Whereas good physical health is the aim of most of us, what we really deem as acceptable can be varied. You know, even as I thought about this message, I thought to myself, so am I in here trying to establish a series of thresholds that we should meet, that we should be able to, whether it be if you're a police officer or a firefighter, that you should be able to run X number of minutes, do 40 push-ups, do 40 sit-ups. And I thought, no, that's not really what this is. In fact, most of what's offered in Scripture gives us guidelines in terms of our physical health in order to benefit, but it doesn't offer those parameters. So I note that because even as we address the subject, we have 30 people in the room, roughly 30 people. And there's probably, in all likelihood, going to be about 30 standards. Now, some of us may agree. You know, if I think of Jonah, and Jonah's in the back there, I might look at Jonah and say, you know, if, shock of shocks, yeah, you. In a case like this, if on a given day, if we're at a picnic, I laughed. Whenever we had our Atlanta Buford picnic in September, is all these guys started doing pull-ups over on the rafters of the overhangs of the cover. Whatever those things are called. What are they called?
Pavilion.
There we go. Thank you. When in doubt, I'll just ask you guys. The pavilions. And if you saw, there were, I don't know, three, four, five guys who tried. In fact, I don't even know this. You might have jumped in and showed us all how it all worked, Brandon. Did you do that? Okay. No, what I was really surprised at is all these young guys stepping up. And I thought to myself, I think by default, the number became 10 pull-ups. And I thought to myself, and this is not a brag. I think I could pull off 10 pull-ups. But I wasn't going over there. Not at the time. Court's questioning me. Court's saying, no, I don't think you could do that anymore. But I thought, I think I could get 10. But that said, I watched these guys do it. I note this because that was an emergent, level that they all aspire to. I'm not about setting levels in here. But what I am about is us recognizing to a certain extent that there should be markers that we kind of try and achieve, that we set some goals here. You know, some of us deal with chronic disease. I know that. Some of us have disabilities of various sorts. Some of us are impacted, whether maybe older or younger, by age. I know all of that. But what we find in Scripture indeed is something along the lines of the fact that God wants us, wherever we may be, however old we are, to again have lives that are healthy and whole, where the systems work, where we feel good on a daily basis. You know, as I went into the topic here and looked at a number of sources, I found under the topic of physical health, no surprise, the impact of sleep. Boy, there's so much research that's come out in the last couple, 2-3 years on sleep. I've been shocked about some arguing that sleep is more important than we ever thought before. Certainly social connections, there's a range of research, and I oftentimes deal with in my classes about how being connected with others makes you happier and healthier. That's actually good for us. And whereas I most likely, when I think of physical health, connect it with food and drink in moderation and physical movement, there's a lot to say on the subject, not just in terms of medical research, but also in terms of Scripture. So I'm going to generally hold to these two areas. If we talk physical health today, I only want us to consider, if you will, the issues or the topics of what we consume and also how we move. Now, I say that at the same time that we're about to enjoy some refreshments in the back. I am not anti this or that, if it helps, by background. But I am big, and I can't speak for you, and I would guess that even our discussions after church may go along these lines about what works for us. I've become growingly or increasingly clear on what works for me. Now, I am a 58-year-old male. Let's cut to the chase here. In fact, by background, I thought to myself, in terms of pastoring, I've pastored many of you for 14 years. I thought, when I started pastoring, I remember a lot less gray hair, a lot less pain in the morning when I wake up in terms of movement, and a lot less older skin. Sometimes I'll look at myself in the mirror and go, who is that guy? Where in the world did this guy come from? But that said, and I do think that there's a value in sharing kind of what works for all of us. In fact, I'll even share some here along the lines of, before we get into scriptures here, we may have favorites in terms of diets that we follow. I have, Sarah and I years ago read a book, What Would Jesus Eat?, that I still think to this day is a very good reference. It was written by a medical doctor, talked about Mediterranean diet, how the consuming of those foods are good for us. Of late, I'll share, of late I've been taken with, and I even shared with my family, after losing a few pounds, I lost like 18, and then gaining a few back, I thought, I got to pay some attention here because the pants are getting tighter again. I was listening to the jazz station Monday evening, 91.9 Jazz of the City of Atlanta, and they brought on someone by the name of Obi Obadiah, and Obi and Morris Chestnut wrote a book. A book was written about 5-6 years ago, and it's entitled The Cut. Now, this book, interestingly enough, as I've gone and seen it, I got to give you the subtitle, The Cut, Lose Up to 10 Pounds in 10 Days. The principal parts about the diet are, you ready for this? Cut sugars. There's the big one. Get sugar out. Because of the inflammation it causes, because of so many different ways that it impacts us. And when I say that, am I intolerant of sugar? No, I'm not going to tell you that. But interestingly, I note that when I cut sugar, in fact, I'll go through periods of time where I'll go, I'll qualify this, no processed sugar. If it's in a fruit, then I'm still going to enjoy that in moderation. The berry thing, I get all that. But when I eat sugars, generally I tend to gain weight. I know what I do. It's pretty cut and dried for me. And so those two authors offer a good diet plan, in my estimation, The Cut there. They spend a lot of time. I even went a period of time, and Sarah will tell you more than you want to know on the topic, where I said, no bread. I am not doing bread ever. I'm not doing potatoes ever. And for some, that might be fine. I was just grumpy and fat for about, 4 or 5 years. Sarah will probably tell you longer. And I began to start incorporating those potatoes back into my diet, and whole grains in terms of good breads, and all of a sudden I became a better guy. I was like, oh, this is not, that's why this makes me happy. Well, this is why I can balance here. But it was me managing some of that. So I note that. I reference those two sources. I also reference, although, and again, we're going to vary here. Jonah would probably go out and run 4 or 5 miles. I'm not that guy. Walking, I have become growingly convinced, and this is, again, me older, is probably the best exercise we can ever do. My doctor that I take a checkup with every year always pushes walking on me. And for a while I thought, well, you must think I'm a wimp. And now I'm convinced this guy knows what's going on here. Because the power of walking, even as we use it effectively and regularly, really does so many wonderful things for us. And I note that here because even as we think about walking in it, and even if you go into the scriptures, it's telling about how there is kind of an implicit way that we gain the value of walking in Scripture. In fact, I had to go back because I thought to myself, well, we sit so much in our desks and in our cars, we don't really walk. If you look in Scripture and you look at just the, you know, a day's journey in Scripture, I think sometimes we can read right over that. A number of sources confirm that a day's journey, if we think about this, is about 20 to 25 miles that people tended to walk at that time. Today, for me to get 10,000 steps, you know what? I complain at about 5 miles. I would be 4 days in to do a day's journey at that time. So there needs to be at least some sense of reality about what we do today and what we find acceptable. Because they were doing a lot more in terms of movement. At least it's helpful for us to note this. So why go this direction? 1 Corinthians 6. Why would we ever pay attention to the importance of physical health? And this one, again, is a beautiful reminder of why, even as we go this direction. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. As noted here, Paul, first letter of Corinth, to Corinth, verse 19. We were here just a week or two ago. It offers this, and do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you ready for this? And he offers this as a question. And you are not your own. You know, if we were, and we all don't get this, if we were to have a label on us, I got a stocking cap yesterday in the mail, and I thought it was a cool stocking cap. My wife will probably have questions about whether it's cool or not. I got the girls to wear it last night. But that stocking cap had 3 tags on it. It had like a care tag, it had a brand name tag, and then it had a like a composition tag. If we were to be tagged with something, that tag says God. Now we can think about ourselves, and I get all that, but the reality is this verse reminds us that we're not our own. That in essence, we've been bought and paid for. And so as we read this section of Scripture, at least it's valuable for us to be reminded of that from time to time. Verse 20 adds, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit." Ready for this? "Which are already God's." Already God's. Now, even as Mr. Hughes was talking about there, our tendency in terms of freedom is, I want my rights. I want whatever it might be. And we get it clearly here as Paul is inspired to write, hey, you're not yours. You're God's. So what we need at least as a reminder as we kind of look at a couple of verses on physical health is just this reality that we're stewards of a body for a while. That said, if we go to some scriptures here in terms of health, let's then deal with the notion of diet and exercise. I think you may already know where I'm going for the first one. If we're dealing with diet, let's go to Daniel 1. Daniel 1. In this case, the two Hughes guys are going to know probably where I'm at immediately, because these guys were a little bit older than you that we're going to talk about. Daniel 1, you're going to remember the scriptures here in Daniel 1. Daniel, a bunch of guys that are, I guess, hard to say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The book of Daniel is still here. There it is. Wound up being taken. You already know this. They had been conquered. They went to Babylon. Let's start reading this section of scripture, verse 3. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. So he brought them. And we're going to get into this dietary issue, verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training. So you got some schooling, guys, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those, the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave the names. Here's the names we just threw out. He gave Daniel Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. Now, let's get down. So they're in training. We've got that. Jump to verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. He had to have looked at the food on a regular basis and said, not looking good. I can enjoy this. I don't know if you ever experienced this. I can enjoy this for a while, but at some point, there is going to be a law of diminishing returns that kicks in. However that came to his thinking. Nor with the wine which he drank, therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor, and God with the chief of the eunuchs, and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who has appointed your food and drink. In other words, there could be trouble if I change your diet. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head cut off before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let's go a test. And here's the test. Let us eat vegetables and drink water for 10 days, and you guys keep going at the Las Vegas buffet. That's in essence what he does. And what winds up happening is they agree to this. We drop down to 15. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And we'll end in 16 for now. Thus the steward took away the portion of delicacies. What did he say? Okay, guys, we're doing a diet revision here. Clear it all out. We're bringing in vegetables in whatever form, and we're going to have that fed to these young men. And the wine that they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables. You kind of imagine those guys were thinking under their breath, oh, great, now I got to eat this stuff. But what we're reminded of here, and we're reminded of a number of places in Scripture, it's just the importance of what we consume. Now, I note this. This doesn't say, although it's helpful, I'm not going to go in detail. It doesn't say anything about clean and unclean meats. You can go to Leviticus 11 on that. Even of late, we were having discussion in our own household about the importance of not eating fat or blood, which we know is spoken of in Leviticus 7. Those very specific requirements change us. They give us, what, health to the bones and better flesh, better skin? They help us in so many different ways. Now, there are so many more scriptures along this line, and I'm not going to take the time to do so, but if you want to, it's there. All of those different dietary guidelines and recommendations are healthy for us to go look at, no pun intended. There's also in Scripture the importance of us to maintain movement regularly, and I already mentioned some of this. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. I sense myself getting lost in some of this too early. And that said, I'm going to try and maintain some time here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, in terms of the value of exercise, we may, even as we read this section, be reminded of the language that's offered here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, Paul writing to Timothy, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So is he saying, don't exercise? Just sit around, be a snail, whatever it might be. No, that's not what he says. In fact, if you go into the scripture, the NIV offers physical training is of some value, but not comparatively equal to spiritual training. That's in essence what this says. And so as you read this section, it says, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, the time we spend spiritually going to God's word, more helpful, more valuable. But it's not throwing out the idea that we still have to move. If I'm back in the book of Proverbs, I'll hit a couple of Proverbs even as we're back there. Proverbs 14:23, don't be thrown if I go a little bit faster on this section. It offers this, in all labor, that notion of labor is the working of the mind and body. In all labor, verse 23 reads, is profit. There's benefit. The tail end of 23, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. So it offers those juxtaposed. It says that we can spend all day, I don't know why this resonates with me. You can spend all day talking on the job or you can work. That's what it reminds me of. Now there's a value to talking, I get all that. But I have no idea to what extent, at least doing physical labor. I'm thinking back to some of my first jobs. One of my first jobs is they stuck a shovel in my hand and he said, I need a wine cellar dug with that shovel. And I remember my thoughts as a 17-year-old going, I know we have a backhoe somewhere on this work site. And he said, guess what? We need you to do that with a shovel. And I thought, this is so unfair. This is me, my 17-year-old. Now, I have to add, he handed me a flat-headed shovel, which kind of ticked me off, and I thought, am I getting played with here? So as soon as he left the site and went to another site, I had to go find one of those spaded shovels, and I said, okay, I'll go to work. Man, talk about 10 hours of grueling pain. I thought, I am going to die. Either this is getting dug or I'm going to die, and I'm not sure what's going to happen here. And I'm not going that direction in terms of labor, but labor is good for us. To exercise is good for us. Proverbs 28:19, I'll go to another one here, just nearby. Proverbs 28:19 offers this. But he who tills his land will have plenty of bread. That tilling is a physical labor activity. But he who is perverse in his ways will fall at once. Forgive me, I backed up. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. He who follows frivolity, being frivolous, will have poverty enough. Again, we get a contrasting of ideas. I'll add here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, before we get off physical health. It offers this, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Whatever you do, make sure you run it by God and you do it to God's glory. So even as we assess what we consume, whatever we choose to do, and how much we move, again, just recognize that it's to God's glory. That's all I would offer here. So let's go to the next one. James, you ready? You've been kind and patient. And that we've already been through physical health, let's tackle the topic of mental health just momentarily. The Center for Disease Control recognizes mental health as this: one's emotional, psychological, and social well-being. Emotional, psychological, there's thinking, and social well-being. Our mental health, they continue, the Center for Disease Control, our mental health affects how we think, how we feel, and how we act. Our mental health influences the decisions we make, how we relate to others, and how we handle stress, which we know now, even over the course of the last month, as Mr. Citrone prayed there at the beginning, we've been through a lot of stress of late. Some are still going through that. You know, even as we go to God's word in regard to physical health, there's a lot to say about mental health. So if you're in the book of Proverbs, let's go to Psalms. Psalms 19. I'm going to jump forward. Psalms 19, and we're going to read here about the importance of mental health as noted in God's word. Psalm 19, I'll start reading the writings of David here. Psalm 19, verse 1. And I think it's important right up front to recognize of the perspective that we gain when we understand what God is, who God is, and our role separate from Him and connected to Him. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. That reality that there is a greater being out there in terms of God the Father to care for us is healthy for us. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So God's handiwork provides all of this. That idea of stepping out on the patio at night and looking up and saying, you did a good thing here, God. That's good for us. Recognizing what he does. Now, if we go a little bit further, verse 3, there is no speech nor language. It doesn't have to talk. Well, it does, even as we understand it, where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So even as we see creation, it speaks volumes about God. And it gives us a sense of balance about who we are. Verses 7 and 8, you can drop down. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The term converting here, you may have in your Bible, talks about restoring the soul. That when we're in line with God, it restores who we are. The testimony of God is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Remember, the emotional part of us makes us happy by going to God's word. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And let's just, to finish this one section, jump to verse 12, and we'll finish the thought here that David offers. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. He gets into here on the back end of this chapter the fact that at times we need restoration. Mentally, this makes sense. The idea of being able to be restored, to acknowledge a limitation or a shortcoming. What do we call this? Repentance. Cleanse me from my secret faults, David says. Keep back your servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He's a redeemer of us. So if we get a sense in terms of mental well-being, we have a lot there that David provides. You know, the basic truth, if we're heading for the book of Proverbs once more, the basic truths that we find in Scripture is that when our thoughts prioritize God, when they prioritize His ways, we are healthier and happier. There is a one-to-one correlation here, inevitably. Now, I'm going to quote some for sake of time. Proverbs 17:22, along the lines of mental health, says this: a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 25:28, I'll quote again. A man without self-control, this fact that we don't necessarily have parameters, is like a city broken into and left without walls. We open ourselves up to things. I will go to Proverbs 18:24 because I want to read this one verse. Because even as we've dealt with the challenges of sadly losing two that we love so much in terms of Kirk and Coco, we've been through a lot. There's been a lot of hurt. There's been a lot of anguish. There's been a lot of compassion that's been poured out. There's been a lot of prayer that we've put in there. There's been a lot of us, I know, beseeching God, asking for comfort for them and comfort for all of us, even as we bear this burden. And so as we go through all of that, I'm reminded there of First Corinthians 12 about the fact when one suffers, we all suffer. That's a weight that we have to navigate for a while. Now, the reality is at some point we will see them again, but it still hurts along the way. We're really clear in that, in bearing that burden. But we bear it better when we're able to pray and share with one another, even as we go through all of that. Okay, I'm in Proverbs 18, verse 24. Again, a last scripture in terms of our mental health. And he who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. For a long time growing up, and I didn't have a brother growing up. But I had friends. Some of you have maybe one, two, or more brothers. This verse didn't make sense to me because I used to think to myself, if you had a brother, how in the world could a friend be closer to the brother? And I guess as you get older, you begin to see the wisdom in what God offers there. Because now, You know, I think of many of you as my brothers when I come to services. When I walked in today and looked around, because we hadn't met here for a while, I thought, this is family reunion. This is my family. These are the people that I love. This makes complete sense when I come here. Because we're brothers with one another and sisters with one another, sisters and brothers here. But that said, even as we see here in terms of the verses, and it makes sense now to me, a friend who sticks closer than a brother, I used to think, how is that possible? Until spiritually you start realizing that you have family and the family is here. I'll quote from the Amplified Bible on this verse. It says, the man of too many friends, and then it offers an insert here, chosen indiscriminately. In other words, you're all about as many connections as possible, as opposed to depth and real connection, will be broken in pieces and come to ruin. Why does the word politician fit here for me? And it ends this way in the Amplified Bible. But there is a true and loving friend who is reliable. If you call or contact this person by text or email, my dad used to say, sure as shooting, you knew that person was going to be there for you. And that's what's spoken of here. It offers, but there is a true and loving friend who is reliable and sticks closer than a brother. And when we have that, you know what we have? The beauty of mental stability. I talk with people, and you may too, I talk with people sometimes that don't have that, that are disenfranchised from their families, that are oftentimes isolated from those who they work with. And yet the beauty of coming to services and understanding what God's allowed us to be a part of immediately makes us kin. This is what we are. Not K-E-N, K-I-N. You get the idea. I'm not doing the Barbie movie here. But that said, that's the background of mental health. God's word makes plain that good mental health is then a product of sound thinking, emotional balance, and then connecting with those of like mind. James, are you ready? We got one more. Which takes us to spiritual health. And I note this here. Spiritual health then involves National Institute of Health. I'll start there and then we'll go scripture. Spiritual health involves living a purposeful life. Now this is the language, you know what's going to happen with the National Institute of Health. Transcendence and actualization of different dimensions. Gotta love the part, which really means you gotta connect with God. There's the fancy language they use. And the pursuing the capacity of our being. In other words, we used to say the following, achieving your human potential, if you remember that book years ago. Simply put, good spiritual health entails maintaining a good relationship with God. That's what it is. Let's cut to the chase on this. The new National Institute of Health offers further that spiritual health is established whenever we have good physical, mental, and social aspects of our life in line with that transcendental being. That's what it offers there. Scriptures on health. Let's go to Proverbs 3. You're still in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3. We are already in 3, and we read all the way up to, if I remember right, we jumped right past this. Let's read verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are a reminder of our spiritual health and what we need to emphasize here. We noted verses 1 and 2. Let's start reading in 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Dual-fold benefit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct where you need to go. He'll direct your paths. So what we find even in terms of spiritual health is the beauty of God providing the direction we need, the balance we need. I'm heading back to 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy. We're going to Timothy and then to Thessalonians. 1 Timothy. Thessalonians comes before Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, Verse 7, we read about bodily exercise profits a little in verse 8. I went back a verse for this section on spiritual health. Verse 7 reads this way, but reject, this is what it offers, but reject, if we're seeking spiritual health, but reject profane and old wives' tales. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, but have nothing to do with irreverent folklore and silly myths of women. On the other hand, it adds, discipline yourself for the purposes of godliness. The tail end of the verse says, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. There's our spiritual health, that balance that we seek. I'll go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I kept these few verses here in spiritual health to a minimum. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 17. It offers this. Again, at the tail end of Thessalonians, again, Paul writing to those in Thessalonica closes this letter right up to its ending this way. Verses 16 through 18 is where I'm going to ask that we read. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so what we get in these few verses, and I'll let your eyes fall upon all that's around those verses that we read, is just this reminder of how we are spiritually balanced. We go to God, we honor Him, we ask for guidance, and He provides us this balance. Now, the one part here that we haven't talked about, and this is the beauty of, again, God's truth, and we've made reference, is when we fall short, God says what? And we're going to fall short. I need repentance out of you so that I can give forgiveness. Whether it be Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, Psalm 51, the beauty of even as we get a little off kilter is that we have the ability to be balanced once more by going to God and pouring ourselves out to God and saying, restore me. Restore me physically, restore me mentally, restore me spiritually, so that I'm in line with you, so that I benefit healthy today and also look forward to the great purpose you have for me down the road. James, can you do one more click? So what do we do with all of this stuff? Well, we're going to keep this pretty concise. One is, no surprise, to be healthier, we have to put God first. Matthew 6:33. You know what's there. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That His righteousness is the daily part. When we do that, we are happier and we are healthier. Secondly, to be healthier, we have to then pay attention to these categories we looked at, our physical, our mental, and our spiritual well-being. We have to ask ourselves, what needs work? Now, the nice part we know from Deuteronomy 30:19 is God gives us the ability to choose, doesn't He? I set before you life and death. But then He underscores, but choose life. Because otherwise, we're stuck on the edge of some roof wondering if in gravity, if God's going to catch us. And God's going to go, no, you're going to hit pretty hard on this one. And so what we find here from Scripture is that God allows us the ability to pay attention to our own health, go to Him, and make course corrections as needed. And that's then my third point here. To be healthier, we then have to course correct as needed, when needed. And I will go to one more verse here. Ecclesiastes 9. I found myself in Ecclesiastes a number of times, even as we were going through the events of late with the Talbots, and found myself rereading this section, and so I pull us back here, because in Ecclesiastes 9, even as we know that where these verses lead, in verse 10, and even what's offered in 11, this fact of time and chance happen to all, which is an explanation that was inspired to be listed here. There's a lot here that's good in terms of our health and knowing that we can go to God and we can be restored, we can be healed, we can gain balance. Verse 7 reads this way, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7, go eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart. I won't go so far as say drink in moderation, but Scripture says as much. And for God has always accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. So enjoy. I have a short header here. It says, enjoy life while you have it. Verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. And then 10 offers us, I jokingly add here, the George Strait line, you can't take it with you, can't take it with you when you're gone. There's no hurts with a luggage rack. Whatever your hand finds to do with your might, do it with your might, for there's no work, no device, nor knowledge or wisdom to the grave where you're going. When given the opportunity to be physically, mentally, and spiritually well, have well-being, we can go to God and we can rely on Him for all of that. So in this last one, course correct as needed. And James 5 talks about that even as we go through our challenges, we can go to God or we can ask for an anointing, which is a whole separate message, or an anointed cloth, and ask for prayers on our behalf. So today we've actually defined health. We've talked about three categories of health, and we've identified three ways that we can improve. Can you do this for me? James, can you click one more? I'll leave us with that picture. You know, the term health generally refers to one's well-being. There's agreement in that one. Of late, we've recognized, sadly, that life is fleeting. It's not forever, not physical life. We've also been reminded that how important God's spiritual life is and the direction we're going. You know, in a nation of shortening lifespans, God has given you and me a unique set of instructions that don't just take us to our ultimate destination, but also add life to our years. I'm going to cite John 10:10. Because sometimes we can cite this verse or reference this verse and we miss all that's there. It offers this: the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. Does God want us to be happy and healthy? Yes, He does. An abundant life for all of us involves purpose. It involves well-being, soundness in the present as well as the future. Let us not overlook or take lightly the fact that God's provided us these instructions for our good. And even as stewards of His temple, let us choose rightly so that our lives are happy and healthy while we have them. I'll end with, here's to good health.